All right, I am very excited to share this story. Now, we just read the story, but this is one of my favorite versions of the story. It's from the Jesus Storybook Bible. Can I read the story of Easter to you? You guys ready? If you can't see my book, I put a bigger book behind me, okay? I think Evan's going to help us flip the pages on this. So if you can't see the one in my hand, you can always look behind me. But this one's pretty nice, too. It's real paper. You know what this is? The book. It has, like, paper in it. It's really cool. Stories in it. All right, let me read this story. You guys ready for this? This is such a good story. Here we go. It's called God's Wonderful Surprise. You ready, Rowan? Okay. Jesus' friends were sad. They would never see their best friend again. How could this happen? Wasn't Jesus the rescuer? The king God had promised? It wasn't supposed to end like this. Yes, but whoever said anything about the end? Just before sunrise on the third day, God sent an earthquake and an angel from heaven. When the guards saw the angel, they fell down with fright. The angel rolled the huge tomb away, sat on top of it, and waited. At the first glimmer of dawn, Mary Magdalene and other women headed to the temple to wash Jesus' body. The early morning sun slanted through the ancient olive trees, drops of dew glittering on leaves and grasses, little tears everywhere. The friends walked quietly along the hilly path through the olive groves until they reached the tomb and immediately noticed something odd. It was wide open. They peered through the opening into the dark tomb. But wait, Jesus' body was gone. It's good news, isn't it? Something else. A shining man was there with clothes made from lightning. Don't be scared, the angel said. But they couldn't help it. They screamed anyway. The angel asked them, "What are you doing here? This is a tomb, and tombs are for dead people." The women couldn't speak. "Jesus isn't dead anymore," he said. "He's alive again." And their hearts leapt. Then the angel laughed with such gladness that they felt for a moment as if they had woken from a nightmare. The other women rushed home, but Mary stayed behind. How could it be true? Jesus was definitely dead. How could he be alive? Just then, Mary heard someone in the garden. Perhaps it's the gardener, she thought. He'll know where Jesus' body is. "I don't know where Jesus is," Mary said urgently. "I can't find him." But it was all right. Jesus knew where she was, and he had found her. "Mary!" Only one person said her name like that. She could hear her heart thumping. She turned around. She could just make out a figure. She shaded her eyes to see and thought she was dreaming. She wasn't dreaming. She was seeing Jesus. Mary fell to the ground. Sudden tears filled her eyes, and great sobs shook her whole body. And all she wanted in that moment was to cling to Jesus and never let him go. "You'll be able to hold on to me later, Mary," Jesus said gently, "and always to be close. But now go and tell the others that I'm alive." So what'd she do? I love this part. Mary ran and ran all the way to the city. She had never run so fast or so far in all her life. She felt that she could run forever. She didn't even feel like her feet touched the ground. The sun seemed to be dancing and gleaming and bounding across the sky, racing with her and shining brighter than she could ever remember in the clear, fresh air. And it seemed to her that morning, as she ran, almost as if the whole world had been made anew, almost as if the whole world was singing for joy. The trees, tiny sounds in the grass, the birds, her heart. Was God really making everything sad come untrue? Was he making even death come untrue? She couldn't wait to tell her. Jesus' friends. "They won't believe it," she laughed. She was right, of course. That is pretty incredible news, friends, is it not?
Yes.
Pretty great? Yeah? Did you guys get to share how you like to celebrate?
Yeah.
What are some ways you guys celebrate things?
I'm doing a word search.
You're doing a word search? Okay. How do you celebrate? First, did you find any words?
I think I found three.
Three, okay. How do you like to celebrate? Anybody? How do you like to celebrate, Rowan?
I like to celebrate by dancing and drifting.
By dancing?
Do you know
that I know that about you?
What?
I know that you like to dance to celebrate. Mm-hmm. I think you've danced a few times at our house. Anyone else? How else do you like to celebrate? How else?
Just being?
That's deep.
About it.
Just being happy about it. Oh, that's true. Anyone else have a way they like to celebrate? Yeah, how do you like to celebrate?
Screaming?
That's true. Well, at our house, one of the ways we've liked to celebrate whether it's just good news or maybe the end of the school year or whatever it is, we like to have a dance party. Anyone else have a dance party at their house? All right, a couple of you. Would you guys, I know it's Easter and this feels a little weird, would you guys have like a quick dance party with me just because I'm so excited that Jesus has risen? Would you do this with me?
Okay.
Could you? Okay, now,
only if you do it.
Should we invite all of our friends right here to do it with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rowan would like all of you to do it. So if everybody would stand up for a minute here. All right, you can dance on the stage, but not by the edge of the stage. So let's move. All right, I have prepared a 30-second dance party to celebrate Easter. Are you ready for this? And then guess what, friends? I love dance parties. So after the service, in the gym, we're going to have a dance party to continue our celebration, okay? This is just a little taste of the dance party. Are you ready? Everybody ready to dance? Okay, we're going to count down from three, and then we're going to have a 30-second dance party. Everybody is going to have a 30-second dance party. Are we ready? We're just so excited. It just comes, bubbles up out of us because of our excitement that Jesus has risen. You ready? Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, dance party! Hey, good job. Good job, friends. Why don't you find your parents? Why don't you guys find your parents, your families? I have an urgent message that someone didn't stand up and dance. So would Zach Servio come up, please? We like to, home from college. Welcome back, Zach. I think aren't you majoring in dance or something? We'd love to see what you've been working on. You would be the last person in the world I'd guess to take. Later. He's holding on, right, for later? I bet it's like, yeah, sure. Okay. Our small group has even started having dance parties. It's inspired me to want to dance more out of just joy. And we are, after the service, we will continue the celebration in the gym with some dance party. For any ages invited, probably younger ages will be there mostly, but... very excited about that. This question of how we celebrate, I'd love to just see how that plays out a little bit in this story that we're looking at today. In the moment that Mary and these women find out about the resurrection, find out that Jesus has risen, they celebrate. And actually, a few of the people there are celebrating in different ways. And I'm sure maybe you even heard an interesting way, even heard from Natty, right? Their family kind of celebrates differently. She's loud, and Jared probably just enjoys. What happened? I assume he sits down and is quietly enjoying the thing. And so today we're going to look at, just quickly, as we look at this passage, I think it's helpful to see all the ways that the gospel, this good news that Jesus has risen, is celebrated in our lives. And we see some of those ways just even in this passage. So this is the passage we had read together, and then we read kind of the kids' version of it. So I won't read it again right now, but we're going to walk through this together. And we're going to look at three ways that I can see are celebrated. Just it comes up out of them. It changes them. The reality that God has defeated death, has come out of the tomb, changes them. And so things happen in those moments. And so we're going to look at those ways now. First, we see that the gospel makes us rest. As we see the angel on the stone, the gospel makes us move. It actually moves us. When we remember and are changed and the Spirit moves in us, we are moved, and we also tell. So the good news makes us rest, move, and tell in celebration. I don't know if we always think of that as a celebration, but those are moments of we're doing something. Our bodies move, or our minds and our hearts in a way because of something else that happened. So we're going to start just quickly here with rest. It's a cool part of the passage that I don't always think about, but there's a moment in this passage where a stone is rolled aside, and when the women get there, they find an angel, but it says in the gospel, it doesn't just say there's an angel there, it actually says there's an angel that is sitting, that's actually sitting on the stone. This is actually a significant thing in Scripture. We see this at the end of lots of things, that it says, and then they sat down. And sometimes you might even wonder, like, okay, great. I don't know why we got to hear about them sitting down. But we hear this over because it actually shows something. And I think it actually shows something that we often experience even in our own lives. Well, we see just in Scripture first, in Psalm 110, we hear the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. This is a picture of God. We see this all over Scripture, this idea of a footstool, which means there's like our God can sit in his chair and put his feet up. That's how not worried he is about enemies. That's not how worried he is about Satan, or not worried about the things that come against him. I love that picture. And we see this over and over talked about as a picture that a king might sit down in his throne. Maybe after a battle, it says he would come home and then he would sit in his throne. It's a moment of like, okay, it's done. And we won. Or I'm not even concerned enough to stand up. We see this in Mark as they talk about Jesus, and actually all over scriptures, they mention this when they mention where Jesus is now after he's risen and ascended to heaven. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. That's intentional, that he sits down next to God. It's a signal that he's done. The work is done. It's over. He's finished. And you rest. It's done. It's such a great picture. And then even in John 19:30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This moment, when we see an angel, they appear, and there's an angel on a rock on the stone that covered death and held Jesus in, and he's just sitting there, and there's this excitement about him, and he talks to them in a way that's like, what do you mean you've come to a tomb? Dead people are in tombs, and our Lord is not dead. He says that in a very much in a way of that the gospel reminds us we can rest, that it's been done. He's sitting there because the work's been done. This is not hard for me to understand. I see this a lot in my life, in the sense that I see this maybe not as I read my Bible always, but I see this in my life. This is a moment I have after I've set up a campsite. I don't know if you're a camper, but if you go and like, I'm sweaty because I've set up the tent and I've got like the stuff already and I got the cooler in the right spot and we've adjusted the picnic table so it's just in the right spot. And I love like putting just the right lineup with the tarp on it so it covers the thing. I love setting up the site with all the camping gear and gadgets. And I'm sweaty and I'm tired and I'm dirty and I get to put my hammock up and I sit in my hammock and I just like look over my kingdom, right? My little piece of woods that I paid for to rent for the night. And I just, it's done it. That feeling of saying, maybe you've been someone who's mowed your lawn or you've built a deck or you planted a garden and then you have a seat, you drink a cold beverage, and you look over the work you've done and you go, yeah, there's like a satisfying, the work has been done. You can enjoy the work that's been done. Maybe you spent many hours building a Lego set and you just sit back and you eat some fruit snacks, and you go, look at that. That's an incredible Millennium Falcon. Like, I can't believe I built that thing. There's a satisfaction in, like, this. All this work's been done, and it's finished. And we have a God who here, we get to see this moment, this angel, this representative of God. He's from God's kingdom, sitting down, saying, the work's been done, the battle's been won. It's finished. Sin and death do not rule. We've conquered death. Our king is alive and well. And so because of that gospel, that good news on Easter, it makes us rest. One of the ways we celebrate is by just resting, stopping and going, it's done. I can stop. It's such good news. The kingdom is secure. You're secure. Your life is secure and it's done. Resurrection makes us rest. It's really good news. It also makes us move. It makes us not just stay where we're at. We see this in this passage, and we see this all over Scripture, right? As the gospel, as this good news, as God gets a hold of people, he changes them, and it changes how they move, how they literally use their bodies, and even how they are moved, and sometimes even from not moving, from even in the Scriptures, it calls us dead. It gives us life and animates us. Here we see that the they're commanded, they're even called, hey, go quickly, move towards the disciples and tell them this great news. And then they do. They in the Jesus story Bible, I love that picture of her moving towards, running as if her feet can't touch the ground. Have you ever felt that feeling where you're like, I'm just having a day, I got great news or something wonderful happened and I just need to go for a walk. I can't sit still. Or maybe you're moved towards dancing. Or maybe you're moved to just do something. Maybe it's like, I don't have the motivation, and something changes in you. That great news maybe changes you. I've had this where something just good happens, and I'm like, I just got to go out and have a walk, and I'm just having like a happy walk. Have you ever seen someone who's having a happy walk, and you're like, they're having a good day? I always feel like I see it when I'm not, I'm like, I wish I was walking happy. Where you're walking like your legs are heavy and you're like, oh, how am I going to get through this day? And then this guy strolls by and he's all pumped up about something. It happens, right? We actually have a physical response to this great news. I remember having this when I was a kid, when my mom walked in. This is back when we had to wait for the news to tell us, and we had a snow day. She would walk in the room and she'd say, hey, Drew, no school today. Sorry, snow day. And you'd think I'd go, oh, great, I'll go back to bed. But something just would well up in me. And as fast as I could, I'd get all my snow gear on. I'd be outside running in the snow, playing in the snow, running to get my friends. It was like snow day, the announcement of that great news would change me. It would move me to being outside. I think as I got older, it moved me to go back to sleep. But at least this size, I couldn't wait to get out. What an incredible moment. We see this same thing happen all through Scripture, right? As they experience life in Christ, not only do we get to rest, but there is a movement that happens, a change in us that happens. We see this after the resurrection when John and Peter, actually, the Spirit of God is doing the same work through his disciples. And they actually come to a man who asks for money, and they say, we don't have money, but we could heal you, a man who couldn't walk. And they actually heal him, and this is his response. A man who was not moving now does this. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is cool. This gives us the sense, even as we are moved by the gospel, even as we rest in it and as we're moved by it, people notice and actually the wonder and amazement of the good news of the resurrection of Easter actually is seen by others. It's the way I guess many of our stories actually came about in our own lives, that we saw someone else's change in their movement or how they could rest in the gospel, and it changes them. It's a pretty incredible story. You see this over and over, right? If you read the gospels, it's just story after story of Jesus healing someone, bringing someone back from the dead, giving them sight, and their first response is to run back to the city they're in and tell everyone, or yell to everyone around them, there's this person, he must be God. It's incredible. In Galatians, we actually see how this plays out in us as it changes, as we go from people who live by the flesh to people who live by the Spirit of God. This is like a list of kind of what those things can look like. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. All that stuff. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live by this will not inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of these are just pictures of death, right? A brokenness of things that actually hurt yourself and hurt others, using others and using yourself to try to get to try to fill yourself so you can move, so you can rest. And then it says the Spirit of God, though, this is what we see happen right there with these ladies. They're standing there and they talk to the angel and they go from the one we thought who's going to rescue us now has just risen from the dead. Everything has changed. But now the Spirit of God moves them, and now the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. Oh, I love more self-control. That's where it comes from. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love they even use the word crucified here in Galatians. So you hear this, even like those, that flesh that we tried to use to give us actual rest, to give us actual movement, actually doesn't. And we actually gets crucified with Christ, and now the Spirit of God causes us to move. Now lastly, we do see dancing in Scripture. It's a fun picture. We see it at some really cool moments in Scripture where the gospel, clearly it's a great picture of it. In fact, many of those stories are very similar to the story that we read today. The story of in Exodus, as God's people are rescued out of slavery and cross the Red Sea, that story ends with a group of women grabbing tambourines and dancing and praising the Lord for his rescue of them. Just dancing breaks out in that. They start moving. They cannot not worship God in that. They're rescued out of slavery and certain death as they're cornered by the enemy. And then God provides this miraculous way out, this way to cross through the sea, a way that identifies them forever and ever, their people, and they begin to dance. Sounds a lot like our story. Sounds like the story that we just read of Mary walking to the tomb thinking, this is certain death for all of us. The one we thought was going to rescue us cannot. Looking the enemy death in the face in this tomb. And then they get there and the story changes. God makes a way out. Instead of just parting waters, Jesus finds a way through a big stone and leaves that place and rescues us from death and sin. And so what do? They can't not move. They can't not move themselves. We see over and over actually in Scripture dancing becoming a way to move just from understanding the goodness of God. God makes a way where it seems impossible, opens the sea, and he rolls back the rock, and now we're free. And so we can rest because of this good news, celebrate just by sitting down. It's okay. He's got it. We don't have to keep working towards these things. He's got it. We also are just moved to change how our bodies move, how we use our bodies, how sometimes physically we just see ourselves change. And also we see them tell. And so the gospel makes us rest and move and tell. And we see this in the same passage. These are actually paired with the moving a lot, but they run to tell the disciples he's risen. How can you not tell him that he's risen? We know as the story goes on, they don't first believe it. Jesus actually comes himself to convince them, but they can't not go. They've got to tell everyone this incredible news. Their friends who are sitting in death and sorrow have to know the greatest news that there is. And we see this all over Scripture too, as people are changed. How can they not also verbally often tell of this good news? We even hear this prophesied in Isaiah, we hear this all over Old Testament, right? Just the people's, the book of Psalms is a book of telling of God's good works. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the deed. I love this. Awake and sing for joy. You cannot sing. This is what we do every week. We gather so we can sing, tell of the great news that is the gospel, that is Easter. We see this when people are healed. Here's one moment, right? When a possessed man is healed, people are watching him healed. He's like very broken, very hurting. This is one where he gets, demons get exorcised out of him. Jesus tells them to leave, and they leave, and they go into the herd of pigs, and the pigs jump in the water. And these herdsmen see it, and they fled, and going into the city, they told everything. Especially what happened to the demon-possessed man. And many people who are healed, their first response is to move and go and tell. How can you not tell this news? And in Mark, actually, the end of Mark, is when Jesus gives the commandment to his disciples. He says, and then this is what you get to do now, as you've been changed. And he said to them, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. This is something we do all the time, right? This is something's built into us to have great news and want to tell it, right? You see this even, you get this in your mailbox, right? You get a birth announcement. Someone's telling you great news. You get a wedding invitation. They're telling you good news, or at least inviting you to their good news. Or a toast. Have you been somewhere where someone gives a toast? It wasn't long ago. I was actually with people somewhere, and a guy just stood up and was like, told us that he had a great day at work, and then he didn't get fired for something. It sounds like he should have got fired for, but he's like, I still have my job. And then everyone went like, great. But that, right? It's like built into us to go, I have great news today, and I want everyone to hear it. We hear this in moments where we really feel suffering, we really feel death. Have you ever got to experience a moment when a friend gets to ring the bell? Or hear the moment when they've been in cancer treatment and they get to ring that bell to announce that they're done with that? That's an incredible moment. I recently just heard someone say it that way. I said, how is your friend doing? And they said, they got to ring the bell. They got to announce that cancer did not win. And Easter gives us the same beautiful picture, right? This picture of something that even greater, a battle that has been won. A war that has been won. Resurrection screams to us, death and brokenness, disease and heartache, suffering does not win. And that Jesus will make the sad things untrue. Right now we get to experience those together, right? We even see in the passage, they say, they ran with fear and great joy. We experience that now, but one day he will return and make all things right, and we will not experience that. And we can rest and celebrate in that. We can move in that fear and joy, to announce the risen Christ, that death has been defeated. Every conversation, somewhere in the conversation, there's probably a moment where we're crying out, I wish there was a resurrection. I wish there was life in something. And we have the good news. There is. That Jesus has changed everything. Lastly, the way I see this all come together, I just got to experience recently. Some of you were there with us. Britta and Josh got married a few weeks ago, which is very exciting. That deserves a whistle. And it was so fun. There's a lot of Hope people there, and there's a moment where everyone's dancing on the dance floor, and people are just celebrating the love of these two and just being there with friends, and you hear people yelling out, like, this is awesome! Just adults being just crazy, things they don't normally see some of you doing. dancing and yelling and celebrating, and then there's people sitting at tables in this beautiful setting, just resting, like just enjoying. Especially there's always like a grandparent, like a grandpa who's just enjoying like his family. He's seeing like all the generations dancing and celebrating, and he's loving seeing one of his grandkids get married. There's this picture of rest and movement and proclaiming all in one motion. There's toast being given. Toast of people sharing how much they love the people there. I think I heard a few people yell, I love this song. There's a lot of Taylor Swift songs that night, and a few of you were very excited about that. This is the picture that we have. This is the church now. We get to be people who rest in knowing that the work has been done. Maybe today you can leave here going, oh, it's good. I need to rest. You take a breath and know I don't have to do all this. Maybe you're someone who today you go, it's okay to move. It's okay to be moved by this. Sometimes I feel like, culturally sometimes, right? Old Norwegians, Germans were like, I'm not supposed to, like, this is a lot. And so maybe the gospel can move us today. And maybe today God's saying, hey, this is such good news. You get the opportunity, hopefully even this week, to tell someone of this good news. I'm going to invite our worship team up so we can do some of that. Together we can tell each other, maybe move a little bit, maybe even just in the opportunity to sit and listen, you can rest in this good news. My prayer is that Easter would remind us that every day we get to rest and move and tell in celebration of this great news. Here at Hope, we love to be able to respond to this good gospel, this good news. We do that a few different ways. We do that through communion, which is out in the hallways here. There's communion stations there. The communion is gluten-free. It's good for everyone, and it's an opportunity to remember. Jesus says, remember that my body was broken and my blood was shed, that I died so that you could have life, and then I rose so that you could have life. And so it's an opportunity for us to remember that good news together. And so I encourage you to do that. You don't have to be a member here at Hope to take communion. We just ask you're a follower of Jesus and partake in that. We're going to sing together. We're going to tell each other and move to this good news. We're going to have an opportunity to pray. If you want someone just to pray for you, we have people who will be in the back of the room who would love to pray for you, and you can always give in response to us. There's a little black box out of the communion station or online to respond. A couple things to consider here as we respond and think. Do you know that Jesus is alive and has changed everything? That's really good news today. That's Easter. Does this good news give you rest? It gives us rest. Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Take a breath. He's done it. He's done the work. How do you want to see the gospel move in you? Maybe even that's a prayer for you today and this week. And then who needs to hear this good news? Let me pray for us, and we're going to enter into a time of just singing and communion and before we end our service here. Lord, thank you for this great news. You are alive. You have risen. I pray we would rest as we hold to you, that we would be moved in our bodies, you change how we go about our lives, how we walk through our lives, and you would Allow us to have opportunities to tell others of this good news who so desperately need this news and want this news, that we could tell them he's here and he's alive and he loves you and he wants you. I pray you give us those opportunities too. We love you, Lord. You are really good to us. We pray this in your good name. Amen.